Amen. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? I love Thanksgiving because it reminds me of what I have to be thankful for, and sadly, so often I can forget. I love Thanksgiving because it's an opportunity to praise God, and that is why I was created. I love Thanksgiving because it's a chance for me to say thank you to my family and to those who work with me for the glory of God at Cloverdale Baptist Church. I love Thanksgiving because I love turkey. I love Thanksgiving because it's an opportunity for us as a congregation to remind ourselves not only of why we exist, which we say for the glory of God, but also to remind ourselves that one of the key ways that we accomplish that is through thanksgiving. In other words, for the Christian, thanksgiving is not optional. Thanksgiving is commanded. In fact, one of the ways, the main way, according to Romans chapter 1, and if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I ask that you would open them with me to Romans chapter 1. One of the key ways that we glorify God is actually through thanksgiving. So what I would like us to do is read that passage, and then we're going to watch a video. And while you're watching the video, we'll give you an opportunity right after the video to share with your own neighbors what you are thankful for. So Romans chapter 1. This passage came to me as I was praying about what to preach on Thanksgiving. I was doing some reading on it as well. Had many different ideas, and you might think it's strange that we settle on this one, which is so negative. In fact, it's a challenge to those who are choosing not to be thankful. I would like us to hear the challenge of the text, and even more, I would like us to flip it on its head and ask ourselves the question, how can we make sure that this passage never describes us? And we'll settle in on verse 21 and talk about some realities that will make us constantly a thankful people. But let me read the text, and when I'm done reading the text, we will watch a video together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. I want us to notice how important giving thanks to God is to God. We'll focus in on this verse for the rest of the service. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 21 calls us to glorify God or to honor God, to set him apart, being aware of who he is. And when we are, and when our sight of God is something that dominates how we see life, it will yield thanksgiving.
Hi, my name is Dexter Vegeta, and I'm thankful for the music so we can worship God.
Hi, my name is Adriana, and I'm thankful for all my Christian friends that have helped me grow in my faith.
Hi, I'm Ryan Scoville, and I'm thankful for the leaders in our church.
Hey, my name is Prina, and I'm just really thankful for my awesome husband and getting a chance to have teaching experience in all different grades as a teacher on call.
Hi, I'm Hannah Sheltons, and I'm thankful I got to go to the Philippines this summer.
I'm thankful for Elias.
I'm thankful for Aaron.
I'm thankful for Nathan.
I'm thankful for Ryan.
I'm thankful for Leo.
I'm thankful for Dexter.
I'm thankful for Daniel.
My name is Rebecca O'Neill, and I'm thankful for the Bible.
Hi, I'm Sarah Chan, and I am thankful for the way that God teaches me every single day.
Hi, I'm Brittany, and I'm thankful for my friends and family.
Hi, my name is Rachel Sheltons, and I'm so thankful that I got to spend my summer at Sunny Bray Bible Camp.
Hi, I'm Kylie, and I'm really thankful for my strong Christian family and friends, and I'm really thankful for the fullness of joy that Christ gives us, and for his faithfulness and love, despite the fact that I fail him every day. And my dog. I'm thankful for my dog.
I'm Dave, and I'm thankful for all the friends that I've made ever since I came here to CBC.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Ella.
And we're thankful for Overflow Youth
and Pastor Thomas.
What a reminder for us, is it not? I'm thankful for Overflow Youth and Pastor Thomas as well. Why don't we take the time now, three things you're thankful for, turn around, share with somebody around you, and let it spur you on to continued thanksgiving. So someone around you doesn't have to be behind you. Three things you're thankful for, go. Okay, only three things, so one more. All right, after service, you'll have more chances. It is so important that we are thankful as God's people. And one of the things I notice, even watching the video, that we can be thankful for important things like our salvation, which should really dominate our thinking and cause us to be thankful all the time, and even thankful for things like our dogs and our friends, and there is so much. And what we want to do now this morning is turn to God's Word to answer the question, how can we be thankful more often? What realities do we need to call to mind, negatively and positively, that will help us this Thanksgiving to be thankful, but even more than that, that will spur us on to be thankful all of the time and in being thankful to honor God. So often in the world we live in, thanksgiving is chased away by unbelief, and thanksgiving is ignored by distractions. And so this morning from the Word of God, we want to remind ourselves of some realities that will help us and shape us in our pursuit of being a thankful people, for that is what God commands. First thing I want us to note from our text, I am created to give thanksgiving. Or we just call this creation calls me. The fact that I am created calls me to be a thankful person. God wants me thankful. God created me to be thankful. Because I am created by Him and living in creation, it is demanded of me to be thankful. Here the text just shouts it out. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. In other words, you're in creation, you're created by God. Then there's two purposes in Romans 1. I know we can go to other places and discover this in other places, but here in Romans 1, foundational, this phenomenal book of Romans, this shouting out of why we are created is this. We're created to honor God and give thanks to God. And as we live in creation, one of the ways we glorify God or honor God, that's just another word, and really we throw it on our wall. Cloverdale Baptist Church exists solely to bring glory to God. Or we could word that solely to honor God, solely to display how great He is. And according to this text, one of the essential ways that we do that, one of the essential reasons we're created, is to give thanks to Him, to be a thank-filled people. Let me read to you what I read, I think it was this week, might have been last week when I was preparing the sermon, Desiring God website. Let me read. God created humanity for gratitude. You exist to appreciate God. I just want to do a full stop. Did you realize that? You exist, you were created for this purpose. To be thankful to God, to express gratitude to God, to appreciate God. He created you to honor Him by giving Him thanks, appreciating both who God is and His actions for us. In creating us and sustaining our lives, it is fundamental to proper human life in God's created world. Romans 1 describes what's wrong with the world, and the apostle gives us this glimpse of appreciation in the created order. Although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. We are created by God to give thanks to Him. And when our thinking is darkened, or we could say with Romans 12, verse 2, when we are conformed to the pattern of this world and not transformed by the renewing of our minds, which we will all struggle with, and one of the things that will disappear is this quality of thanksgiving. And I think this reminder is essential. I think that because God's word tells me that, but I also think that because in my own life there are times that this gratitude of the heart is not on display. So reality number one, you and I, every human that has ever lived, is created to give appreciation to God. We are created to be thankful to God. Reality number two, I am paying the cost of sin with thoughtless thanklessness. We call this the fall. Sin creeps in and it mars our ability to think. Sin creeps in and it mars our ability to respond to God as God wants to be responded to. The fall shapes us. God created us to give Him thanks. Creation itself calls us to know God and honor Him, and we fail miserably in appreciating God as we should. Anne Voskamp, in her book, 1,000 Gifts, not a book I have read, but a book that some of you have, and I have, through my wife, given it away, says this. And again, remember in the text how important this is, because it's what God has called us to do. God is there to help us to be thankful. From all of our beginnings, we keep reliving the garden story. Satan, he wanted more, more power, more glory. Ultimately, in his essence, Satan is an ingrate. And he sinks his venom into the heart of Eden. Satan's sin becomes the first sin of all humanity, the sin of ingratitude. Adam and Eve are simply painfully ungrateful for what God gave. Isn't that the catalyst of all my sin? Our fall was, as and has always been and always will be, that we aren't satisfied in God and what He gives. We hunger for something more, something other. Or, to sum it up, our sin is, and it produces many other sins, we don't acknowledge God, and we're not thankful to Him. Our sin is that we are a thankless people because of the fall. And so this text comes and it says creation itself calls us to be thankful. We are created to appreciate God, to glorify Him, to display how much He means to us, to shout out to one another and display to one another and echo back and forth this thanksgiving of the heart for who He is and what He has done and what's going on in our lives. And yet so often we share back and forth negative things and things we're not grateful for and things we wish would change, perhaps even about God sometimes. So when we understand we've been created to be thankful, and then we see in our own lives this reflection of thanklessness, what do we do? Well, we need to understand that thanklessness, according to this text, verse 21, is not acknowledging God. Thanklessness means we're ignoring who He is and what He has done in our lives. In other words, it's living our lives as though the God of the Bible does not exist. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, because they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. They ignored God, or if we want to make this personal, when we're not thankful as God's people, it means we're ignoring God. That's pretty strong, isn't it? We're acting as though He doesn't exist. We're acting as though Jesus did not die in our place and rise again and conquer sin and death. We're acting as if God does not love us and has not chosen us to bear fruit and be a part of His plan. We're acting as if as if he's not involved even in the painful moments. Now, you might be saying, yes, Pastor, we hear you, and we know that's what the Bible commands. We're going to see that even more clearly as we look at some texts. But what about if my life is extremely painful? What about if my life is overwhelmingly painful? And my life has not been. It's had its ups and downs. But some of you have experienced pains that I can't even begin to understand. But Johnny Erickson can. Johnny, who has been a paraplegic since she was a teenager, not able to do so many things on her own, so incredibly bound to a wheelchair. And yet she has shared, I have listened to her share, she's one of my heroes, that she is thankful, listen to this, she is thankful for her wheelchair. In fact, she's gone so far as to say she wants to bring her wheelchair to heaven. Now, I would hate to inform her that that's impossible. And she goes on to say she'd like to take it to heaven to thank God for her wheelchair because it drew her close to him, and then she'd like to send it to hell. But what she displays in her pain and brokenness is an acknowledgement of God being sovereign over her wheelchair and pain, and a thanksgiving for what that means for her to display and honor him with her whole life, as broken as it is. And she has done that faithfully from the wheelchair. In other words, in every area of your life, acknowledge God and place your hope in him, not on fleshly desires. Not only does this mean, verse 21, that we're not acknowledging God because we're not being thankful enough. Number two, it means we have fleshly desires that we're placing on God. And it's the opposite of the reality of who he is and what he has given. In other words, we do something like this. And this is so prevalent in the North American church and so horrifying in heaven. We say something like this: God, I have offered my life to you. God, I have chosen to serve you. God, I have sacrificially given, and I have made pledges that you wanted me to make. I've been a part of building churches and sharing the gospel. God, you owe me now a nice life. I hear this from some people in their brokenness. God, you owe me an entitlement from God is actually blasphemy to God, because he has given so much. And we get to embrace that and enjoy that as his people. Listen to Luke 17, verse 10. So you also, when you have done all that you are commanded, say this: we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. It only makes sense to serve God with all that we are and all that we have, no matter what the cost, for he is glorious and he created us to give him thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, do we sometimes struggle with this reality of ignoring God in our lives, of ignoring our great salvation? We are created to give thanksgiving, and the fall mars us and removes that desire from our hearts, and we need to replace it by reminding ourselves of how awesome our salvation is. We're going to have a song sung for us this morning called Jesus, Thank You. It's a song that a friend of mine actually wrote and then has placed into music and is now being sung all over the world. But it's a reminder for us of what God has actually done for us. So if you could just meditate on the words as it's sung for you, and let it chase up in you a heart of thanksgiving. Chase away any selfishness, any bitterness. Bring to you an awareness of God and how he's created you to be, and let it overflow in a thanksgiving that is ignited today that will impact the rest of your year. Listen carefully. Calvary, you
the perfect Holy One crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you.
Could we ever forget? And yet we do. And so we need to be reminded, and thank you for that privilege of being a part of this family that will do that on this day. Reality number one, we are created to give thanksgiving. Reality number two, the cost of sin has blinded us from the goodness and greatness of God and what He has done. Reality number three, I am called to be thankful. we could just sum that up by saying redemption, but it's more than redemption. It's thankful not only for what Jesus has done for me, but also the privilege then of serving him, and thankful for being a part of a team and a church that gets to serve him. Thankful for allowing us to live our lives in a way that impacts others, and thankful for those others who are serving by our side for the glory of our God. This church family is filled with servants that I am thankful for and privileged to serve with, and we have asked Marilyn to come and share, the deaconess of women, and to allow us to be thankful with her for those who are serving our church so faithfully.
In keeping with the day of Thanksgiving and Pastor's message, I want us to recognize as a tremendous blessing to our church a number of women who are engaged in ministry. The ones I am bringing to your attention are those involved in what is called women's ministry, coordinated by the deaconess. From my area, here are just some of the women and their service for which we should be thankful to God. I have a limited time and a lot of women to recognize, so I'll mention their names and their area of service and ask them to stand and remain standing. I know none of them are looking for recognition, but we thought it important to the church to see how many are involved in serving our Lord. Some of our ladies were in the first service. Retreat Committee, Natasha Millard, Susan McKenzie, Melissa Dermeyer, Lori Goddard, Tracy Giebert, Diane Waddell, Marilyn Layton. Breakfast Committee, Carolyn Lowen, Terry Coven, Lorraine Moen, Annette Sonderby, Delia Tumac, Louise Kurlock, Joanne Arink. Others serve as speakers or contribute their handiwork for gifts. Please stand also. Shower Committee, Donna Glover, Dorina Pasca, Marilyn Layton, Helene Austin, Helen Carlino, Tracy Giebert, Kezia Reese, Virginia Crompton, Shirley Forrest. Bible Study Coordinator, Nancy Millard, who also teaches two studies. Bible Study Leaders, Tracy Giebert, Suzanne Stark, Janet LaFleche, and Cindy Gilray. The Bible Study Babysitters, very important. Esther Perry, Jane Towes, Hannah Sheltons. Without these ladies, our moms with babies and little ones could not attend the studies. The Food Tidings. This group of ladies coordinates the ladies who have signed up to provide meals for families at a time of need. Carmen Radke, Nancy O'Neill, Julianne Calamance, and all of the other 30 ladies who have signed on. Christmas Social Event Committee, Nancy O'Neill, Nadia Gerges, Beth Fenske. Prayer Chain Coordinators, Lorna Enns, Virginia Crompton, Martha Scoville. And Prayer Chain Ladies, 32 so far. Room for lots more. Mentoring. I won't mention names, but if you are mentoring or have taken the course, please stand up also. The Sewing Work Bee. Grace Weeb, Sandra Weeb. They coordinate this ministry and more than 30 ladies who are involved. They had another work bee yesterday, and some ladies came and worked, but there's many more that work at home, in their homes, getting things ready to send to the Philippines again. In addition to those I'm highlighting, there are women involved in many other ministries of the church. Please stand up also. Choir, library, worship, information and welcome desks, various committees, youth, Awana, Sunday school teachers, nursery, kids' church, communion prep, audit committee, church clerk, greeters, and I probably missed some areas, so I would also like to ask those others who are serving in other ministries to stand up as we can praise God for all of the women in our church who are serving with us and serving God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, is a verse I think applies to our ladies in service. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Thank you, ladies.
And thank you, Marilyn, for your ministry. Ministries in the church are so important, and we do need to take the time to thank one another, to notice what is going on, and to appreciate what God is doing in and through people. I am called to be thankful, as are every person here. Let me just read some of the texts that so clearly command this. I know you know these, but I think it is important to be reminded of them to chase any thanklessness or bitterness or upsetness with life away from us that can so easily invade. Colossians 1, 11 and 12. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. In other words, one of the ways we walk in Christ is abounding in thanksgiving. Does that describe you or me? Because it's how Jesus wants us to be described as followers of his. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Have you ever wondered that? Well, let me tell you what it is. I know what it is specifically for you, not because I'm the prophet or a son of a prophet, but because the Bible is clear. It's that we would be a thankful people. I love Colossians 3, 15 to 17. There's so much here, and hockey started this week, and there's a hat trick of Thanksgiving comments here, and it reminds me of what the Flames did with Mason Raymond earlier. Ken, is he gone? Or is he still here? Yeah, good. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. There's one. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Number two, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Then whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number three, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What should we do? Give thanks. Overflow in thanksgiving. I am called to be thankful. I am redeemed to be thankful. I am created to be thankful. Oh, that we would get this today. Happy Thanksgiving. And that we would get it tomorrow, and that we would get it on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and carried on through our entire lives, because we can be thankful to Jesus. We've been redeemed. We can be thankful to God the Father for his love and his grace and his character. And we can be thankful for the privilege of being able to serve him with our lives and being all in. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember what we deserve. Romans 5 makes this so clear. We know 5:8, while we were still sinners, but in that little passage from verse 6 to 11, we are described without Jesus as weak, ungodly, sinners, objects of his wrath, very personal, enemies of God. And if we can see ourselves in that way before we receive and experience his love, we will only be able to say in the midst of anything and everything that life brings, thank you, Jesus. I love how that passage ends, verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We are commanded, we are created, we are redeemed to become thankful people. This Thanksgiving, let us remind one another. Verse 21 of our text. And let me state it positively. For we know God, and so we choose to honor him as God by giving him thanks in every situation, because our minds are taken captive by his word and his glory. And so in light and wisdom, we worship him alone and exclusively with purity. If you keep reading in this passage, you'll notice the consequence of ignoring God by not honoring Him and by not thanking Him. And that is a giving over of God to us for sin. It's horrifying. So this Thanksgiving, how do we apply God's word to our lives? I hope not only to shape today, and I hope it does shape today, but beyond. How do we allow God's word to be the makeup of who we are? And here is my answer. First, in terms of implications, we need to think rightly about these things. We need to understand what God's word teaches and realize that we are commanded to and have reasons to and created to be a thankful people. Brothers and sisters, let's think rightly about God and about salvation and about our lives. And let's honor God by being thankful all of the time and engaging with one another so that we encourage one another to be thankful. Secondly, not only considering God's command and character to be thankful, but also confessing and repenting for not being thankful. What do I mean by this? If you're anything like me, and you are, and in this it's not a compliment, sometimes the roughness of reality can steal your focus and your thanksgiving. And that is sin. And we need to confess that. Repent for not being thankful. What does repent mean? It means not only agreeing with God on this command, but now saying, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to turn from where I'm walking, and I'm going to walk towards God. I'm going to help others do the same. So I'm going to confess, and then I'm going to choose to be thankful in a family that is thankful, so that now as we get together as women or men or families or individual families or friends, as we gather, thanksgiving will be on the tip of our tongues as an overflow of our hearts because we choose to live in light of reality. Listen, I want to make this real clear. Because reality is sometimes tough and sometimes includes wheelchairs and comas and cancer. But it also includes, for the believer, which supersedes all of these, the love of Christ and submission to the plan of God. And so in everything, every circumstance, we can choose to be thankful. So as God's people, gathered together to worship our King and to learn from His Word, may today that learning impact our thanksgiving in such a way that we will, from this day forward, consider carefully who God is and what He has done. Confess to one another and to our God the shortness of which we have fallen and will still struggle with. And then a choosing together. When I say together, that means back and forth and sharing with one another. We've already done it a number of times this morning. Continue to do it. Don't stop. Be thankful. Sing from your hearts, thank you, Jesus, and let it overflow in every area of your life. Let's pray. We want to be aware of your presence and power and lavish love for our lives in the midst of everything that goes on. So would you help us to take captive every thought and make it obedient to you? We confess that there are times where we have not been thankful and we have actually been thankless and not honored you. And on behalf of your people here, I confess that as sin and repent of that and ask that you would take us and help us to see reality clearly so that we would be thankful. And Father, would you give us the discipline to choose this day and beyond to thank you and to never let bitterness or despair creep in and cloud our thinking. Help us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.